And they come in red, white, and marble. So signups are available on the Narthex table, and you can give payment to Pam, and they're due again by next Sunday the 3rd. There is a children's event if you haven't signed up for the gingerbread decorating at the cafe. There's a sign-up sheet here at the church as well at the cafe. And we're just looking for donations of any type of candy that would be appropriate for decorating a gingerbread house. And if you could have that here by December 1st in the Narthex, we would really appreciate that. And any questions, just contact Sharon Bayshore. Does anyone else have any other announcements they'd like to highlight this morning? There is a clothing, food, and blood drive you'll see to support our community listed in the bulletin, as well as so much other information. I just encourage you to read your bulletins and see all the wonderful things that are happening here in our community and at Little Swatara. Any other announcements? It's so good to be here in the house of the Lord. Our opening hymn is number 50. Opening hymn number 50.
Please rise and sing hymn number 50. Praise the Lord, sing hallelujah.
I say G-I-G, you say God is good. G-I-G. G-I-G. We've come to that time in our service where we share joys and concerns that we have upon our hearts, and there'll be a microphone to come around. We simply ask you to slip your hand in the air, and we'd love to hear your joys or concerns to share with us. You know, many of you anyway, that I'm diabetic, and waking up to a 106 number for your sugars was pretty exciting this morning. So I praise God this morning that he is good with my numbers being more in line, and that makes Denise happy too. Look at that smile.
I like prayers for my sister-in-law, Cindy High. She fell on the steps yesterday and has two cracked vertebrae and also some cracks in her pelvis.
Like prayers for Ruth Rollins. She also fell. She broke her femur right up by her hip. In her 80s, has 20 steps into her apartment, so not quite sure what is going to happen once she's discharged from the hospital, so prayers for her for healing and the family for strength.
Yes, thank you. Anyone heading into the woods tomorrow, we certainly want to pray for safety for those among us that are hunting tomorrow, and best of luck. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your presence that is here with us in this place. We thank you, Father, no matter where we go, you are traveling alongside us, before us and behind us and surrounding us, knowing your love is beyond compare. And we just thank you this morning for that unconditional love that you give each and every single one of us. You know the season of life that we're in. You know what we're struggling with. You know the joys that are upon our hearts. But in all these things, we say that you are good. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. But most of all, this Christmas season, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who was born, that we might be given an example of a life that we should lead. And we just thank you for Jesus' life and the perfection that he led through his ministry among us. And we just pray, Father, that we would be holy, we would be set apart, and as people would notice us in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, that they would know that there's something unique about us, and we would be able to share our story and the salvation that we have and the good news of your son, Jesus. We know, Father, that there are accidents that happen among us, and one of those things is falling. And we think of Cindy this morning, and we think of Ruth who took falls, and you know the bones that are aching right now that are even broken. And we know, Father, you are the master physician. You are the one that can extend healing to their bodies. And we're praying in the powerful, powerful name of Jesus our Lord that you would allow that healing to take place. We know, Father, many among us are searching for direction. We're looking for guidance. We know our futures are ahead of us. We know the present day has enough trouble of its own, but we're asking you to lead us, Lord, to guide us, and your Holy Spirit to be upon us, that we would know what's right and what's wrong. We think of Richard this morning and just continue to lift him up and his eyes and ask that you would bless him and allow that healing and recovery to take place, that all would be well with his eyes, and just thank you for modern medicine to do the procedure that he had done. We think of John and Ruth this morning, and we lift them up and ask that you would nurture their marriage, that you would allow them to see how very much they are loved, and just bless John and Ruth this morning. We ask that for Carl and Faye and for Earl and Grace. We ask that for Carol and Pete this morning and for Eugene and Mary. We pray healing over Ruth and over Bonnie and ask that the cancer would be gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Jean and for Nancy and for Dorothy and for Mary Ann and for each among us, Lord. You know what we're dealing with this morning. You know the week that we've had. You know the week that lies ahead. And we just thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship you this morning, to sing praises of who you are in our lives. And we thank you for the difference that you make. We know, Father, we make mistakes. We sin in our lives. And we want to take this opportunity in the moment of silent prayer to repent and to confess those sins for you. But not only repent and confess, but to turn from those sins. And we ask for your help to do so. So, Father, hear our prayers to ask for forgiveness in these next few moments. Father, we don't take for granted that you call us to live holy lives. We know, Father, that there are times that sin creeps into our lives and it so easily just takes over. But Father, we're praying against the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, the name that has conquered death, the name that has conquered the enemy. And we pray that we would look towards you to guide us to lead holy lives. But we know, Father, it takes letting the Spirit lead us. And Father, we just accept that Spirit into our lives right now to move and to stir us to live holy and pleasing lives. Father, you know the schools among us that are represented and the work that is before these students, these college students, young adults, and we just pray for every student and young adult as they go through their studies that you would go with them. You would give them the patience to complete their projects, to do well on their exams, to study, and to be able to make a difference in their classrooms. We think of those that are in the workforce, and we just pray, Father, for those that are teaching, for those that are serving in a blue-collar job or a white-collar job. You know, Father, the jobs that we carry in this congregation, and we ask, Father, that you would help us to shine light, to demonstrate love in real, practical ways, to offer words of encouragement to our coworkers. We know many among us are retired, and Father, that enters us into a completely different stage of life. And we pray, Father, as we enter those golden years, that you would allow us to know your comfort, to know your peace, and to know the opportunities before us to use the giftedness that you had given us. And we pray, Father, that we would be a people of peace. We know throughout the world we see evil, and we pray against those evil schemes that the persecutors of the Christian faith are attempting. And we pray that Jesus and his peace would burst forth from each of us. And we would ultimately know that your unconditional love is something we can offer as well. So help us, Father, to live sacrificial lives. Help us, Father, to know you more and more and to be able to listen and to be able to hear your voice and to be moved to go the direction you call us. And we ask that your will would be done here in this place and in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the abundant blessings that you give us in our lives. We thank you, Father, that there are always provisions for us when we find ourselves in need. We thank you for friends and family. We thank you for this church family. We ask that we would be a blessing to others and a blessing to this church. We know, Father, the work before us. We know the financial necessary means that we have before us, and we ask that you would allow us to meet them above and beyond. And just thank you for each cheerful giver this morning. Thank you for each offering that is put into these plates. And we ask that you would multiply them to be able to further your kingdom. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite any other children to come join me up front. How many of you have been to the library before?
I just go there every week.
What do you do at the library?
Get books.
You get books. How do you get books?
With your library card.
Okay, so you get these books. What's another word for getting books?
Checking them out.
Checking them out? Using them? That's not the word I'm looking for.
Borrowing,
there we go. So when you borrow these books, what's one thing you have to do?
Read them.
You gotta read them, yeah?
Give them back after one day.
Give them back?
No.
What else you gotta do with them?
You need to read them like very carefully.
Read them, yeah. How do we treat the books?
We treat them with care.
You gotta treat them nicely, that's right. Have you ever heard anyone in the church say, we all belong to God, everything we have belongs to God?
Mm-mm.
Yeah? What's that mean?
We're kind of like his toys.
We're kind of like his toys? Kinda. In a way.
Like we're his family?
We're his family, yeah. It's not the word I'm looking for, but I'll explain. So, everything we have belongs to God. So, does that mean our whole body belongs to God?
Yeah.
Yeah? So how should we treat our body?
Nicely.
We should treat it nicely. How do we do that?
By taking care of it.
By taking care of it. How do we take care of our body?
We feed it.
We feed it.
We drink.
We drink water.
Milk.
We drink milk.
We need to eat healthy.
We breathe.
We breathe. That's a good point.
Exercise.
Exercise, there we go. How else can we treat our body well? Do any of you sleep?
Getting plenty of sleep.
Yeah?
Getting plenty of sleep.
So.
We energize.
Yeah. So we gotta treat our body well by feeding it, watering it, and giving it sleep, and exercising it.
So.
We water it by drinking water, so we don't dehydrate. There we go. No, not actually watering it. So what do we have to do with our bodies? Like, we take care of it, but like, we're borrowing our bodies basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to give it back to God, right?
All library books.
So basically, sure, we're all library books. We'll go with that. Oh, yep, we're all a library book.
Yeah, you're a library book. They can read me.
Okay, so how can we not treat our body well?
Hitting us.
Hitting us?
Hitting ourselves.
Don't eat, don't drink.
Not eating and not drinking? Yeah.
Don't take education.
Not doing education. How about... Drinking soda, yeah.
Not
sleeping, there we go. So basically the opposite of everything we've just said that we should do to our body. How about watching too much TV?
Yeah.
I don't think that's good for our body. It ruins the brain. So we gotta take care of our body so that we can give it back to God, right? Yep, all right. We'll go with that, let's pray. Dear God, please help us keep our bodies in good condition. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Please join me in singing hymn number 120, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
we're about to enter into the most wonderful time of the year. And along with it comes the sounds of the season. We can hear those sleigh bells ring-a-ling. Friends are calling you-hoo. Children laughing and a whole lot of fa-la-la-la-la. But what is the sound that a follower of Christ makes? We know that we're called to holiness, but what exactly does holiness sound like? Could it be the voice of truth? Or could it be the sound of silence in patient waiting? Could it be that the noise we make sounds a call to others? A lot like that grunt call or bleat call hunters will be using in the woods tomorrow to bring in that antlered whitetail. But what about the sounds of serving others with a hammer and nails, a chainsaw, a snowblower, or words of encouragement, or that phone call to simply say, "Hello, how are you doing?" That sends a message that people matter. Friends, we realize that every sound that we make carries a message. But there's certain sounds we don't often hear in church, like, "Hey, it's my turn to sit in the front pew." Or, "Wait, what? You need a volunteer for junior high to teach? I'm in." Or how about, "Oh, I didn't realize the pastor went 30 minutes over his sermon." But friends, the sound of God is a sound that says we are precious in his sight. It's a sound that proclaims his unconditional love. But this morning, we turn to the Old Testament. And the sounds in our text are deafening. There are loud and clear sounds of a holy God. Stories that hit home, that rock us to the core, that shape the way we think. They challenge one of the greatest delusions of our culture regarding God. And they're based on a reality that God will always do what is right. But friends, if we're honest, we confess we don't always understand what is right in God's eyes. So this morning, our scripture points us to the sound of holiness. A holiness often expressed in and through judgment. A word culture does not like to hear. A word that Christians are accused of. But Jesus, the ultimate judge, will have the final say. And friends, we know that Jesus' words speak life. We know that Jesus' words speak peace. We know that Jesus' words offer forgiveness. But remember those words that he said to the ones that he healed, to the ones that he set free, and they couldn't be more loud and clear this morning. Go and sin no more. So friends, today more than ever, we praise and we thank God for his holiness. But as we'll hear, those who choose sin, this holiness can mean trouble. And that's exactly where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel. The sound of trouble surrounding the Ark of God. Now, if you know anything about the Ark of God, it's one of the holiest objects in Israel. It's a box about the size of a small filing cabinet that was kept in the Holy of Holies, the temple of God. And there in that ark were stored the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And on top of that box, statues of two heavenly beings called cherubim. And between those cherubim, God's holy presence remaining in the midst of Israel. But friends, as with our lives, the Word of God gives us careful instructions how to live. And the Ark was no different. There were very detailed instructions, warnings to Moses about how to handle the Ark. And you may know that mistreatment would mean sin against a holy God. Whether it was intentional, whether it was by accident, the penalty was death. And friends, the same is true today. It sounds harsh, but imagine If the highway department only put up signs along the road that made us feel good about driving, rather than speed limits with a number, they would say, whatever seems right to you. No longer signs indicating danger ahead, like a bridge out or a bump or an uneven pavement. Can you imagine the tragedies there would be without lack of warning? So in the same way, the gospel includes the fact that sin and everything opposed to God will one day meet judgment. So this morning, our story is about people, even priests, who sinned against the holiness of God, who treated God without reverence. In so many ways, we could say the ark was treated like a good luck charm. Have you ever heard of a rabbit's foot? Have you taken the wishbone of the turkey this past week and pulled it to see who got the longer end? Have you ever found a four-leaf clover or seen a shooting star and wished upon it? But eventually, an Israelite says, who can stand before this holy God? So that's where we find ourselves this morning in 1 Samuel 4, 1 to 11. And it reads, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel. And as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, why did God bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the ark of the covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. When the ark of the Lord's covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, what's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp? When they learned that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. A god has come into the camp, they said. Oh no, nothing like this has happened before. We're doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight. So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that there is purpose, there is meaning to what we have just heard. And we know, Father, that you will speak to us. So we ask now that our ears would be open to hear precisely what you would have us hear. Amen. So who can stand before this holy God? Friends, not even Israelite soldiers. 4,000 in the first, 30,000 in the second battle perished. Who can stand before this holy God? Not even the priests, Hophni and Phinehas. Those priests represented the worst evildoers in the story. Earlier on in the chapters, you'd see them abusing their power by taking offerings and feasting on the best meat. You'd see them sleeping with the young women who were helpers at the temple. And in the end, God's judgment fell upon them. As we continue in our story, we realize that divine judgment did not stop there. Continuing on, a man came running back to town and cried out that the Israelites had been defeated. He came around and told Eli, a priest and the father of Phinehas and Hophni. When Eli heard the message, he fell over and died. Who can stand before this holy God? Not Eli the priest. We would have read in chapters 2 and 3 how Eli failed God by his negligence and weakness. People would tell him about his sons, and he wouldn't become angry and take action. He would weakly admonish them, and he didn't try to stop them. His failure to act allowed the wicked sons to go on profaning the temple of a holy God. And friends, the consequence, a shameful death as he fell from his chair and broke his neck. But friends, divine judgment did not stop there. The next passage speaks of the wife of Phinehas, who is pregnant. When she hears the news, she went into labor, gives birth to a son named Ichabod, and her final words were, "The glory has departed from Israel. The ark of God has been captured." Who can stand before this holy God? Not the family members of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, but even still, divine judgment did not stop there. The Philistines at this point have possession of the ark. And let's hear what happens next. When the Philistines captured the ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord. And here's what they do. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Who can stand before this holy God? Not that idol Dagon. Twice the idol statue fell face first before the ark of the Lord. His head and his hands, which we know represent his power, are broken off. But if we continue through chapter 6, we find divine judgment did not stop there. Tumors and panic and death struck these idol worshipers. They would never repent, and they would continue to reject God's presence and hold on to false idols. And the question is, how often do we, friends, do the same thing? Remember, idols are anything that take the place of God in our lives. Who can stand before this holy God? Friends, even the tribe of the Levites, the tribe dedicated to serving the temple, who should have known how to treat the ark, did not do so. But take a deep breath, inhale and exhale, and understand this about our God. Because God is good, he does not enjoy the death of anyone. Ezekiel 33:11 confirms it. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Friends, as much as God wants people to live, this passage reflects the truth of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. We must realize the moment we do so, we're forfeiting the privilege to truly live. God alone gives us the gift of life. He calls us to follow him, to be holy. We see it in the life of Jesus. And since then, God has revealed to us a greater extent of his mercy and salvation. But hear this, if you hear nothing else this morning. This does not mean we become less holy. This does not mean we become any less opposed to sin. But something changed when Jesus came. So why do you think God allows sinners like you and I to continue to live? The answer is found in 2 Peter 3:9. It reads, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, friends, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should repent. He even wrote in John 3:16, would you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Friends, the good news is this. God loves sinners. God loves life. Friends, he's not a fan of death. God not only gives life, but he protects life. He fosters life. He wants us to have life to the full. And through Scripture, he simply encourages us to follow his ways and to be holy. The Bible tells us there will come a day that God will recreate and God will renew the earth and all of creation. So this message is about whether we can stand before this holy God. And on our own merits, friends, we can make all the sounds we want, but we still won't stand before this holy God. That's why God, in his love, sent his Son to earth. Jesus, who is fully God, became fully man, so that as the God-man, he could fix our problem. God the Father sent Jesus, the Son, to do what he alone could do. Friends, he lived a perfect life, and he took on our own death penalty. Jesus took the punishment and the death that we deserved when he died for our sins on the cross. And friends, the amazing result of Jesus' atoning death, if we believe in him, if we follow him as our Lord, our sins are forgiven, and we can stand before this holy God. You see, that's the change that Jesus brought. God is good. He became our mediator. He became the Savior who perfectly and completely addresses the problem of sin. He makes us holy so that we can be acceptable to a holy God. So friends, let the sound of holiness resound. And as Jesus said, go and do likewise. May there be mercy, may there be peace, may there be joy, and may there be love ever upon our lips. So here we are, Lord, use us. Please rise and sing in our final hymn, number 395, "Here I Am, Lord."
Thank you.
Would you repeat after me? Father, we repent.
We receive your forgiveness.
We turn to a holy life.
And we leave this place
being used of you.
Being used of you.
In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.